Thank you, Derek. And worship team, thank you for worship leading us in worship. And last week, thanks, Derek, for preaching for us, for me. And it's good to be back. It's good to see you. And God is good, isn't He? All the time. Yeah, even in our weaknesses, even when we need Him. He's always there, and so it's good to worship this morning together. Recently, we built some countertops out of black walnut. I got some pieces of black walnut from a friend, and we made these beautiful counters. And I didn't realize the value until I talked with one of Susan's friends, who had a grove of black walnut trees and realized that they had sold one of their black walnut tree that was over 100 years old. It was over 12 feet wide for over $27,000. So black walnut has a lot of value. It's valued. The value of it is mostly for furniture and cabinets. People do eat the nuts. But what some people don't know is that a black walnut tree growing next to a garden can be toxic to plants, to a garden. In fact, the black walnuts exude a biochemical called juglone, which from nearly every part of the tree, whether it's the roots or the nuts or the leaves, the twigs, anything that comes off of that black walnut tree is toxic to some gardens. And so plants that grow directly beneath the canopy of a black walnut is going to be at risk and probably not grow very well. Like black walnut roots that bring toxicity to other plants and destroy it, sin in our world came in and it has destroyed, it has become toxic and destroyed many lives. Many lives. All of our lives. We are worse off because of sin. And so we're going to look at Colossians for the next few weeks. We started last week, and Colossians gave us a perspective of a church that Paul is writing to that he had probably not met personally, but he knew about the struggles that they were having. They had come to know Christ. They had put their faith in Christ. And in Colossians 1:4, it says, Paul says this to them: "We have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you." So they have received the gospel, they have accepted the gospel, they have believed in Jesus. And then in verse 13 and 14, it says, "He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." And so Colossae, the church, realized that they had been forgiven, that they had put their faith in Christ. But Paul was writing to them because that he wanted to encourage them not to get distracted, not to get sidetracked, not to allow the deception that was toxic to come into their belief system. And that belief system was starting to emerge, and it was called Gnosticism. And so this Gnosticism was a false belief they were facing. Like the black walnut tree is toxic to other plants, this belief was toxic to the believers. It was a deception. It was destructive. And what we believe, what you and I believe about Jesus Christ is crucial. What you and I believe about Christianity is vital. Not the difference between Gnostic and Christianity. Just a couple thoughts or a couple things that you may not know. But Gnostics were dualists. They worshipped two or more gods. In some ways, Jesus was another God than the Father. But in Christianity, we worship one God. Gnostics would focus on eliminating ignorance, so knowledge was very important. That was their, the more they knew, the more they believed that they were closer to God, and they believed that that was all about their thoughts and their knowledge. But Christianity is more concerned about eliminating sin. Gnostics, they believe that salvation came through knowledge of self. Christians believe that salvation is only through faith in Jesus Christ. And in Gnosticism, the focus was on the individual and the individual experience in Christianity. But in Christianity, it is on the community of believers coming together. And so, hold on here. Go too far ahead. So, Paul wanted to remind them that the source of their faith was Jesus Christ, and that Jesus Christ was not a secondary figure. He was and is God. And so A.W. Tozer said this. He says, "What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us." So you may ask the question, what does it really matter what I believe? Well, you know, and I know, that this experience that we've had in the last year and a half, there are a lot of different views out there. And there are a lot of different belief systems, a lot of different philosophies. And truth is very hard to find nowadays. And so Paul is saying this to the Colossians, Colossae church, but he's also saying it to us, that there are deceptions out there, and it's important what we believe, and not to get sidetracked from those. There are many problems in this world, and humanity has tried to fix those problems. We have tried. And the longer I live, the more I realize that these problems seem to get longer. The list gets longer. The problem seems to get deeper. And every life, every area of life presents problems. Political, economic, social, environmental. And if you spent any of your time yesterday watching videos of 9/11 last, 20 years ago, in many ways the world has changed. But in many ways, in other ways, it seems that we keep repeating the same problems over and over again, don't we? The greatest problem is not global climate. It's not the Taliban. It's not the administration of the White House. It is not even the pandemic. Mankind's greatest problem is pride. It's sin. The greatest problem in humanity is this pride, this sin that has alienated ourselves from God. God did not alienate from us. We alienated ourselves from Him. Because we think we can do it on our own, and we think we can do it better. Humanity thinks that. And because of that, sin has broken this world. Now, the title this morning is Jesus holds everything together. And when we look at Scripture in Colossians, we see that it says, in Jesus, everything is held together. So you may ask the question, well, why did the Twin Towers collapse? Why is the world falling apart? And why is it coming undone? It's because there's sin in the world. But in Christ, He holds everything together. And that is why it's so important to know who Christ is and what He is to us. William Booth, who was the founder of Salvation Army, and he came to know Christ at age 15, and his heart was to share Christ with those that were in poverty. And so he started Salvation Army. And he said something profound about the dangers of heresy, meaning the toxicity of belief systems and philosophies that were not about Christ and who He was. And he said this, "I consider that the chief dangers which confront the coming century, which is the 20th century, will be religion without the Holy Ghost, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, and politics without God, and heaven without hell." You can't have those things. You can't have a true religion without the Holy Ghost. And Christianity, you can't have it without Christ. And so in Colossians, Paul is clarifying some misunderstandings about the person and work of Christ. The heresy of Gnosticism discounted Jesus as fully God. And so Paul writes with the Holy Spirit helping him and speaking through him, and he writes the most profound statement about Christ in Colossians 1:15 through 20. It's like his resume of who he is. And so, who is Jesus Christ? Oh my goodness, this keeps moving on me. Who is Jesus Christ? Colossians 1:15 through 20. It's on the back of your bulletin, but you can also open it in your Bibles. He, meaning Jesus Christ, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. There's a lot of alls in there. There's probably eight or more alls. Jesus, in Jesus, everything is held together. I thought of these things that some of them are a little funny, but some of them, you know, that they're life altering things. If you think about it, life without oxygen, what is that? That's death, right? Life without oxygen is death. A body without blood, what is that? That's a corpse. You're doing good. I was thinking about this. What about our cell phones? Without radio waves, it's just a paperweight. Right? I mean, it's just, there's no point to it. What about plywood without glue? What is that? Maybe you would say sawdust. right? Or an engine without gas, they're just a bunch of pieces of metal. Or a car without a battery, well, that would be an eyesore, right? Or how about this one, coffee without beans, what is that? Yuck. Like water. Chocolate without cocoa, not good. A skateboard without wheels is a piece of wood. A music station without music, that's a talk show, right? Talk radio. A river without water is a dry bed. But Christianity without Christ is meaningless. Christianity without Christ is pointless. Creation without Christ is non-existent. All things created through Him and for Him. He was before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is sovereign. He is unequaled. He is unmatched. He is supreme. And so some people ask the question, well, where is God? I don't see Him. He is, you know, where is He? He's invisible. People ask the question, well, show me God. Well, Scripture says that God is spirit, and we can't see spirit. You cannot see it, but you can see the effects of it. Just like Billy Graham said, you can't see the wind, but you can see the effects of the wind. Imagine if you had a piece of paper, and you had on the piece of paper, you had two people drawn on that piece of paper. They're one-dimensional. And they can't see me standing here, because they're on that piece of paper. They're one-dimensional. And so the only time that these two stick figures drawn on this piece of paper could see me is if I put my finger onto the paper. And in that sense, they could only see part of me. They could just see my finger, not my whole self. And like that, God is outside of time. He is outside of our dimension. We have a certain amount of dimensions, height and width and time, and God exists beyond that. So, we don't see Him, but He exists. And His finger has essentially come into our dimension when He sent Jesus, His Son. And so God did touch the paper of this world when He came as a human. Jesus claimed to be God. In John 12, He says, when a man believes in Me, he does not believe in Me alone, only, but in the One who sent Me. When he looks at Me, he sees the One who sent Me. Now Philip, one of the disciples, was like, okay, just show us the Father, and that'll be enough. And Jesus answered in John 14, Philip, don't you know Me? I've been with you. I've been among you such a long time. Anyone who has seen Me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in Me? The words I say to you are not just My own. Rather, it is the Father living in Me who is doing His work. So they are one, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Jesus says the only person who had come directly from God to this world in John 3:13, no one has ever gone into heaven except the One who came from heaven, the Son of Man, and forgave people of their sins, which only God can do. And so if we were the flat people on the piece of paper, it makes sense that a multidimensional Creator God entered our four-dimensional world by becoming a human being. He revealed Himself, but why would God do that? Well, there was a story of a farmer who, it was a cold night, and there were these birds that were crashing into the the wall, the windows, and trying to get into the warm cabin and trying to escape the deadly cold. So the old man went outside and opened the barn door, and he waved his arms and shouted at the birds to go into the barn, but they would not go in. They didn't understand him. And it was then that the old man wished that he could become one of them to tell them, to show them how to get into the barn. If only he could be a bird, he could tell them that. And at that moment, the old farmer understood why Jesus had come. The old man couldn't become a bird, but Jesus, God, could become man. And that's what he did. He became man so that he could help us and show us and redeem us and reconcile us to God. And so what does this passage tell us about God? What does it tell us about us, and how does it impact our lives? Jesus is the image of God. He is the exact representation of God. Before Jesus came, no man was able to look upon God and live. Moses wanted to see God, but he was only able to see the backside of God, and in that he almost died in that sense. Jesus is the firstborn over all creation. And this does not mean that he was born. This does not mean that he was created. What this means is he is superior. He is supreme. He is the first and the last. And by all things, everything was created because of him. He created heaven and earth, visible, invisible, thrones and powers and authorities and rulers. He is over everything, even evil spirits, even Satan, even the kings and the queens, and even the presidents and the authorities. He is over all of that. And so all things were created by him and for him. He created you, and he created you for him. He did not create you for you. He did not create you for your spouse, necessarily. He created you for him. He is before all things. He is a non-created being. In him, all things are held together. Super glue does not cut it. Duct tape does not compare. Gorilla glue, T-Rex tape does not compare to Jesus holding everything together. You want your life to work? Let Jesus hold it together. You want your marriage to work? Let Jesus hold it together. You want this country to succeed? Let Jesus hold it together. Jesus is the answer. He holds it all together. He is the head of the body, the protector. He is the overseer. He is the beginning, the Alpha and the Omega. He is the firstborn among the dead. He is supreme. He is greater than the Supreme Court. All of God dwells in him. And through him, he reconciles and will reconcile all things to himself. Heaven and earth, making peace through blood, the blood that shed on the cross. So why do things fall apart in this world? Because of sin and pride. It's not because of God. It's not because of Jesus. But he can and will bring everything to a reconciled state. He will make all things new. So what does this tell us about man? What does this tell us about you and I? It says, basically, if you've ever stood beside an ocean, you have realized that you are small. If you've ever stood next to a mountain, you have probably felt a little smaller than that mountain. Or if you've ever gazed at the Milky Way, and the stars in the sky and seeing the planets, you realize that you are small compared to what is vast and great. And that Creator, Jesus, created all that for us and for Him. So man chooses to puff himself up. We choose to make ourselves greater than God, but it says in Scripture that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So why does it matter that we acknowledge Jesus as supreme? We have not made it work. And I think we've had a long enough time to figure it out. In 2,000 years, we still haven't figured it out. We make things worse. And so I think what God is trying to tell us and what Paul is trying to tell us is that He is sovereign and we need Him. He is supreme and we need Him. Jesus is the picture, the image of the invisible God. He is everything that we need. We are in need of Him. I love the story that Louis Giglio shares about God and Jesus holding everything together. And he's doing this talk on the glory of God, and he's finished, and this guy comes up to him. He's speaking in Tyler, Texas, and the night was over, and the guy walks up to him, and he says, Louis says, this is a God story. The guy introduces himself to Louis, and he says, so how are you doing? I just wanted to say hello. And Louis says, nice to meet you. And they're shooting the breeze. They're talking about what he's talking about. And he says, so what are you going to do when you're done with this tour, when you're going to finish speaking? And Louis says, I'm going to go back home to Atlanta, Georgia, and I'm going to preach for my pastor back in Atlanta for 2 weeks. And the guy says, cool, what are you preaching on? And Louis said, well, the series is on the glory of God in the human body. And he said, well, that's really amazing. Wow, I'm a molecular biologist at the university down the road. And then he says to Louis, okay, now give me your talk. Tell me what you're going to say. And Louis was like, wow. He wasn't quite ready to talk to a molecular biologist about God's glory in the human body. And yet the guy was kind, and Louis stumbled through his talk, and he's very gracious to him, and he says, so what's your big left hook? And Louis said, left hook? I don't have a left hook. And he's like, well, what's your big finish? He says, Louis, your left hook is laminin. And Louis looks at him and he's like, he went totally blank. He's like, laminin? Yeah, Louis, laminin is the cell adhesion molecule protein. Do you know about proteins? Louis says, no. He says, Louis, cells organize into certain molecular structures, and that determines what protein there are. There are between 10 and 60,000 proteins in the human body. We don't even know how many proteins are in the human body, but one of them is a cell adhesive molecule. It is organized into certain structure, and it tells the cell what its body is in the body, and this one is a cell adhesion molecule. He's like, all right. He said, Louis, it's like the rebar of the human body. The steel that puts in the concrete, when they lay the foundation of things, it's the stuff that's holding your membranes together. It's the glue of the human body. And so he says, Louis, it's laminin. You got to tell them about laminin. And Louis says, okay, I promise, I'm going to go home and I'm going to tell them about laminin. And the first thing that's going to happen is there's going to be revival, and it's going to sweep across the church, and and probably around the world when I tell them about laminin. And he said, no, you got to see laminin. And Louis says, okay, I'll go home and I'll Google laminin. So he takes out his card and he writes, spells it out for him, L-A-M-I-N-I-N. And he takes his, and he gives it to him. And Louis goes home and pulls up on his computer. And as it comes up, he's like, wow, that's laminin, the cell adhesion molecule. He's like, wow, he's so excited. He was beside himself. He cannot believe what he is seeing. He says, I love laminin. I'm so fired up. You should see laminin. And so I have a picture of what laminin looks like. This is the cell adhesion molecule that holds everything together in our bodies. And so Louis was so excited. He was all, this is so cool. He emailed the guy back so fast. He says, like, wow, 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 wow. And then the guy emails him back and says, okay, that's just a diagram. Do you want to see the real thing? Well, the real thing looks like this. Isn't that cool? So, he sends the real thing. This is the actual laminin protein molecule. And how crazy this is, that the stuff that holds our bodies together, that holds in the lining of our organisms, that together holding our skin on our bodies, that is the perfect shape of the cross of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And so, immediately, Louis is thinking about the words of Paul in Colossians 1. That beautiful passage that we just read, the description of Jesus Christ. He says, for by Him, talking about Jesus Christ, all things have been created. Things in heaven and things on earth. All things were created by Jesus and for Jesus. But then the verse goes on and it says, this is cool. He says, Jesus is before all things, and in Him that is in Jesus Christ, all things are held together. Laminin is an example of what Jesus does in our lives, in the universe. And that is what Jesus does, and that is what Jesus can do in our lives. And so Paul goes on to the end of this paragraph, and he just tells the story of grace. He says, God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Christ, and through Christ to reconcile to Himself all things by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. So are you broken? Are you discouraged? What is holding you together today? What is holding your marriage together? What is holding your physical body together? What is holding your mind and your soul and your body together? Jesus is the one that holds it all together. He is the sufficiency. He is the supremacy. He is greater than duct tape. He is great. He is better than super glue. He is better than wood glue or even laminin. And then John 15:5 says this. Jesus says this. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in Me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. So, what does this mean for us? What does this mean for our everyday lives? This means that we need to stop puffing ourselves up, stop trying to say that we got it all figured out, and start humbling ourselves and recognizing that Jesus is the ultimate supreme being that we need to worship And we need to give him all the glory in everything we do. In Jesus' name, amen, right? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your love, that you came into this broken world and you brought a solution. And Lord, there's so many things that we would like fixed. There's so much pain and there's so much sorrow in this world. And so instead of us trying to fix it, Lord, we just come to you. We humbly come and acknowledge that we need you. Lord, it says in your word that if we humble ourselves and repent, that you will come and you will heal our land. You will heal us and forgive us and you will cleanse us and you will make us new. And so we just acknowledge you. And as we finish this morning, as we worship your name, and may we not just sing the song, but may we apply this concept, this idea, this principle to our lives this week. May we start our day and end our day with you. May we acknowledge you in the middle and throughout our lives. When we struggle with relationships and our spouses, and when we struggle with our jobs and whatever else fear that we have about the world, Lord, may we come to you first and give you all our needs and our concerns. In Jesus' name, amen.